Jesus, 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 there's just something about that name. Master, Savior, Jesus, like the fragrance after the rain. Jesus, 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 let all heaven and earth proclaim. Kings and kingdoms shall all pass away, but there's something about that name. There is a name I love to hear, I love to sing its word. It sounds like music in mine ear, the sweetest name on earth. Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how
wonderful. Thank you, Brother Combs. Clear my voice for him. Boy, I'm telling you, you get these guys and can get up there at these high peaks of that tenor part, and I want to kind of stand up, help them get up there on that part, and but I appreciate that, Well, I found that, Brother Combs has sung specials here before. I found out that Brother David Monsivais can sing. And I also found out that Brother Bshindik can sing. This sounds like the preacher may be getting us a little staff quartet rolling here. Amen, Brother Dave. Come on now. We'll find out. We'll do something. Well, you young teenagers that came into the youth department today, did you find out what your tag meant? Did y'all find out what it is? Okay. Just want to make sure that y'all looked it up. Did they look it up, Brother Fiesler? Did they get it? Okay. Okay. So some of them just made something up, it's a long Greek word, and I think some of them just said, oh, mine, it just means cute teen, or handsome teen. I appreciate that, and we had a good number of sixth graders that came into the youth department today, and so that's the ones wearing their yellow tags. Those are the ones that came in, and so I expect some of you older, more mature teenagers to mentor these young people. You hear me? Mentor these young people. Remember how it was the day you first came into the teen department, like a deer in the headlights. It's probably how they were this morning, weren't they, Brother Fiesler? Just held on to the chair, stared straight ahead. People talked to them. Several years ago, my parents, and my parents are in their 70s, and late 70s, and my mom is very active, and so she likes to go to Disney World. And I'm talking about when she goes, she don't go to ride the carousel. She rides the roller coasters, 70 years old. So anyway, they talked my dad. My dad's got heart problems. So they talked him into getting onto that Space Mountain type roller coaster. And he said, no, I really don't want to. Oh, you know, well, you know, my brothers and sisters, oh, don't be a chicken. You know, so they really talked him into getting on there, and they got on there, and boy, that thing, I guess, I've never been on it, but I guess it went all the way to the top, and he's like, whew, and then it went down backwards. After it was, and it, by the way, to do all this, I guess it's in the dark. After it's all said and done, my mom gets off. My brothers and sisters, they all get off, and they're all slapping each other, laughing. Oh, wasn't that great? And I turned around and said, where's Dad? My mom said, where is he? So she went back in. So help me, my dad is still sitting in the roller coaster car. And when my mom went back in, the man was going, sir, are you okay? Never said a word. My mom had to go in there. His name's Bob. She said, but she calls him Bobby. She said, Bobby, it's over. Let's go. And she said he just looked up. They helped him. They got him up out of the roller coaster, walked him out. She said when they got outside, all the color was gone out of his face. Scared him absolutely, nearly to death. And so since then, I told him, I said, Dad, listen, here's what you got to say. And by the way, the ones that really pressed him were my sisters. So here's what I told him, here's what you got to say to a woman. No. No. You're not going to bait me into this. And so I told my mom, I said, let me tell you something. Y'all are on up in age and stuff. I said, that's a good way to be a widow. She thought about that. She's never asked him to ride a roller coaster again. So you know what he does? When they go, he goes and gets him some popcorn, sits out there on the park bench, lets them go ride, and then they all, by the way, he said, you know what? The roller coaster was the worst of it. He said, I think the second worst part was standing in line for so long. Stand in line, listen, stand in line 2 hours to ride a roller coaster, it lasts 20 seconds, 30 seconds, whatever it is. But I don't know how I got off on that. I just thought it was a good story. And take your Bible tonight, 2 Corinthians chapter 8. 2 Corinthians chapter number 8. Now, while you're turning to 2 Corinthians, I'll meet you there in just a moment. I'm going to read you a verse out of Hebrews chapter 10. Hebrews chapter 10, or actually two verses, verse 24 and verse number 25. Let's stand together, if you would, please, out of love and respect for the Word of God. Hebrews chapter 10, I'm going to read verse 24 and 25, and then I'll meet you there in 2 Corinthians chapter 8. Paul, who I believe the author of the book of Hebrews, writes and says this in Hebrews 10, 24, and let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works. Now, I want you to listen to verse 25. You've heard it many, many times. Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much more as you see the day approaching. So it sounds like that what Paul is saying is that it's not that we need less fellowship. We need more fellowship. It's not that we need less time together in the house of God. We need more time together in the house of God. And then he says, and the reason we need more time together, he says, is because as we see the day approaching, obviously, there's something about that togetherness, that camaraderie, that unity that we need as believers as we see persecution on the horizon. As we see the church being persecuted, and we're seeing it even now in other parts of the world. We need that fellowship. Now turn over, if you would, to 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse number 1. Moreover, brethren, we do you to wit of the grace of God bestowed on the churches of Macedonia, how that in a great trial of affliction, the abundance of their joy and their deep poverty abounded unto the riches of their liberality. He said, for to their power I bear record, yea, and beyond their power they were willing of themselves. Listen to this. Praying us that with much entreaty that we would receive the gift, in other words, that which was bestowed to them, and take upon us what they were trying to do. Did you notice what it says they were trying to do? Fellowship. He says, and take upon us the fellowship of the ministering to the saints. And I want to take that portion of Scripture along with Hebrews chapter 10, verse number 24 and verse number 25. And I want to preach tonight on the subject of the ministry of fellowship. The ministry of fellowship. Now, Father, we're so grateful to be in the house of God tonight. Stir us now, we pray, concerning this matter of the importance of fellowship among brothers and sisters in Christ. And we'll praise you for the outcome of tonight. In the wonderful and holy name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. And you can be seated. You know, if there's one thing that we Baptists enjoy doing, it's that of fellowship. Now, most of us enjoy the time spent that we spend with friends and church members, you know, feeding off of each other's company. Listen, here's the funny thing. I always think it's all funny because we have people and they come and they'll sit through, you know, maybe a 30-minute song service and, you know, probably a 30 to 45 minute message or 50 or 60 minute message, something like that. And they'll sit through that and they'll think, man, glory to God. Amen, it's over, church is out. And then go stand on the front porch for 30 more minutes. Now let me tell you why. People want fellowship. People feed off of each other's company. We need one another. And let me tell you what even makes it more exciting, fellowship, is it's even better when you throw a few steaks on the grill, amen? And fire up the grill and throw some barbecue on there. Even makes fellowship even greater. Now, that word fellowship is very simple. Very simple definition. It means being together. It means being together with joint interest, communicating with one another. And boy, I'm telling you, after church on Wednesdays and Sundays, on the front porch and in the foyer, there's a lot of communicating going on. Why? People enjoy fellowship. They enjoy being together. Listen, some may think they don't need any fellowship, but they do. And may I say this to you, church? Listen carefully. No one thrives on isolation. No one thrives on isolation. You see, no one grows, no one matures in separation from people, particularly the people of God. Never found anybody that's ever grown in grace. Never found anybody that got attached and got hooked into the mainstream of church life that ever was isolated or isolated themselves. Now, usually, isolation and separation from people, whether ignorantly or intentionally, results in deprivation. In other words, it results in impairing or causing people or a situation to become worse. Now, here's what we think. We think, well, I don't want to bother anybody. I want to just give them their space. I want to just, you know, I don't want to make them feel like I'm just kind of forcing them into fellowship. Well, why don't you try it? They'll probably latch on to it. Listen, you're not going to, I promise you, most people are looking for fellowship. They're looking for people to spend time with. They're looking for someone to talk to. May I say to you, ladies, that there are ladies in our church that are craving for ladies' fellowship. There are men, gentlemen, in our church that are craving for men-type fellowship. Just time to be together. Have you ever been in a room full of people before and yet felt alone because no one ever made an effort to speak to you? I've been there many times. And boy, it just feels kind of awkward, doesn't it? Just feels kind of uncomfortable because you're in a room full of people and yet nobody seems to be communicating. You remember how you felt. You know what you wanted to do? You wanted to get out of there, right? You see, the Bible says in Proverbs chapter 18, verse 24, a man that hath friends must show himself friendly. You see, the thing about it is when we go into a room, you know what? You say, but nobody's talking to me. All right, then you go talk to people. If you're in a room full of people and nobody's talking to you, you go talk to them. And you'd be amazed at how many of them will talk to you then. You see, what I'm saying is people need fellowship. And may I say to you tonight, church, that a key element in the fulfillment of this verse that we just read here in 2 Corinthians chapter 8, when Paul says, take upon us the fellowship of the ministering to the saints, the key here is the word fellowship. Being able to perfect this in ministry. Let me tell you what it's going to benefit you, and it's going to benefit others possibly for the rest of your lives. You ever had anyone come to you and say, you know what? It was because of you. You made a difference in my life. You paid attention to me. I told you over and over many times that one of the things that really solidified my wife and I in church, I talked to you about it, mentioned this several weeks ago when we talked about the ministry of discipleship. But may I say too, the discipleship and fellowship a lot of times go hand in hand. And I remember one of the things that really got us anchored down in the church was people fellowshipping. People saying, hey, listen, we've got a common interest. I don't have any common interest with anybody. Well, you're born again, aren't you? All right, then if you're born again, then the scripture says we're brothers and sisters in Christ. We're children of God. Yeah, we got some things in common. Now, let me just throw something out there to you if I could. Are you still there in 2 Corinthians 8? Look at verse number 5. The scripture says, and this they did, not as we hoped, but first gave their own selves to the Lord and unto us, by the will of God. Now, this ministry of fellowship, and I want you to listen carefully because I believe this. This particular aspect of ministry, fellowship, finds its roots in our fellowship with the Lord. You see, the more time we spend with God, the more time we want to spend with people. The less time we spend with God, the less time we want to spend with people. You see, fellowship with God generates fellowship with the saints. Because when you fellowship with God and you spend time with God, you're going to want to spend time with people because you're going to see the needs of people. You're going to want to be used and say, Lord, use me to meet the needs in somebody's life. You're going to want to fellowship with those people. Now, there are some faults to fellowship. You say, well, all right, preacher, give them to us. I am. Because there are some faults that you need to guard against, all right? Now, everybody in here in agreement, we're human flesh, okay? We're just human beings, just sinners saved by grace. Everybody understand that? So we've got faults. And if we're not careful, there are some faults even in our desire to fellowship and minister to people. You say, what are they, preacher? Let me give you a few of them. First of all, if we're not careful, we will fellowship only with those who have common interests that we have. We will only fellowship with those who have common interests with us. For instance, there's a lot of things that I enjoy doing. I've told you many times, I enjoy hunting, fishing, I love the outdoors. Now listen, if I'm not careful, my group and people I'll fellowship with are people that have the same interest I do. And that's the people that I'll do things with, and that's the people that I'll spend time with. And I don't know a better way to say it. That's the kind of people that you hang out with, you know. People that have similar interests. But we've got to be careful not to shrink our ministry down to just a small cell of people that have the same interests that we do. Number two, if we're not careful, we'll fellowship with only those who have the same temperament as we do. Well, this is a good one here. Sometimes we'll only fellowship with people that have the same temperament as we do. Now, everybody understand what temperament is. Temperament goes hand in hand with personality. And you know, there are some people whose personality are going to rub other personalities the wrong way. Amen! Right? Hey, it's okay. We're just human beings, right? Can you imagine what the world would be like if everybody was like you? Wouldn't it be a boring world? You know, the thing about it is we all have different temperaments. And if I'm not careful and you're not careful, my circle of fellowship even shrinks smaller. Because now, not only am I only fellowshipping with people that have like interests, now you need to think like I do. You need to have the same interests that I do. Now your temperament needs to be like mine. And so what I'm doing, if I'm not careful, I'm continually shrinking my ministry of fellowship down to where it's just my four and no more. Now folks, I don't think, now I may be mistaken, but I don't think that was the intent that Jesus had. Don't think it. Think it is. But there are some faults if we're not careful in fellowship. We'll shrink it down so small that we've got our group that only have the same interests we do or the same temperament that we do. And then number three, if we're not careful, we'll fellowship with only those who are on the same level of faith as we are. Amen. Because what we do then is my circle of people is all the people who've been members of Trinity Baptist Church for 20 years plus. See, that type of fellowship, I've shrunk my group down even smaller now. Now, I want you to listen to me. I want you to listen to me, church. That's how cliques get started. You understand what I'm saying? That's how that type of thing gets started, because we've shrunk our ministry of fellowship down so small that we can't fellowship with anybody if you're not interested in the same things that I am, or your temperament's not like mine, or your level of faith is not like mine. Sorry. Sorry, can't fellowship. Well, you know what? You need to get over that. You need to get over that. You see, this church, listen carefully. This is where a lot of young believers, babes in Christ, and new members fall through the cracks in the church. Because they can't break into your group of fellowship. They don't fit into your group of fellowship because maybe their interests are the same. You say, well, preacher, you like hunting and fishing. Well, you know what? Somebody else may like golf, or somebody else may like NASCAR. So I'm just throwing stuff out there, all right? But you know what? I can still fellowship with them just because they don't have the same interests. One thing we do have the same interest in is that's Jesus. So you know, when we fellowship, we ain't always got to talk about golf or hunting or things that our interests. We can talk about the common interest that we have, and that's Christ Jesus. We can minister to one another. Now I want to say something, and I want you to listen very carefully to what I'm saying. Listen, I said this is where young believers and new members fall through the cracks in the church, and we're all guilty of this. And listen to me, church, we are all guilty of actually spiritual profiling people. You hear me? That's what we do. We spiritually profile people. Uh-huh. Let's see. Do you like hunting? Never hunted? And I'm telling you, and what we do is we start talking and finding out what people's interests are. And then we talk with them, and we find out that their temperament's a little bit different than ours. They're not always up and hyper like some of us. I'll tell you one thing. I'm glad my parents never knew what Ritalin was. Because I'm telling you, if they'd have given me, I could have flown. I don't need any, brother. I don't know what it is, but my body just produces it. But I'm here to tell you tonight that if we're not careful, there are some faults and we'll profile people. Now, I want you to look at all the variety of people that Jesus fellowshipped with and those he distanced himself from. Now, listen to me. Jesus didn't profile anybody. What he did, though, he did inspect the fruit. He distanced himself from heretics. He distanced himself from blasphemers. He distanced himself from those religious but lost people who hated him and despised everything he was about. He separated himself from those that were despisers of good. But you know what? He fellowshipped with a lot of different people. He fellowshipped with all types of different people and different status of life and financial status of life and different walks of life, different careers, different personalities. They didn't always all match up. But you know what? He never shoved anybody away except for those that just hated him and despised what he was about. Now, we've talked about just for a moment about the faults of fellowship. And let's talk about the fruit. What's the benefits of fellowshipping with people? Well, first of all, I want to say to you, it connects the spirit of people together. It's a bonding of spirits together. Now, let me say this to you. In the book of Acts, if you'll remember, shortly after Jesus' ascension, remember they all met with one accord in one place. I wonder what they were doing. Reckon they were playing Monopoly? Wonder if they were playing with their DVD? No. You know what they were doing? They were fellowshipping as common brothers and sisters in Christ. And all of a sudden, what happened, the Bible says, they were of one heart, one soul, one mind, one accord. And then notice what happened shortly after that. The Holy Ghost of God came upon them. And boy, I'm telling you, some mighty great things happened because of that one thing. And I believe it started with fellowship. It started with getting together because they had common interests and their spirits were knit together. Hey, folks, when we come to church, we ought to love coming to church and be around brothers and sisters in Christ. Listen to me. People that don't want to be around Christians and other believers, something wrong. Something wrong with that. People that don't want to have fellowship with born-again believers or stay out. Listen, folks, let me say this to you. Some of us, we need to get over something. We come in late for church and we leave early. We're quick to leave. We have no fellowship. Now listen, what you're doing is you're starving your spirit because your spirit needs that fellowship of believers. That's the reason Paul said not to forsake the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is. Listen, we need more fellowship and we need more church as we see the day coming, approaching. So it connects the spirit of people together. Number two, it develops a one heart, one soul, one mind relationship. You know what the type of church Jesus blesses? Church where everybody's going the same direction. Because a house divided cannot stand. And how can two walk together except they be agreed? Well, how are they going to walk together and be agreed if they don't fellowship? Right? Got to have common interests. And so there has to be fellowship if there's going to be a proper relationship. But you know what, church? We're going to have a relationship with God and fellowship with Him because our fellowship with Him will be in direct proportion to our fellowship with people. And boy, He'll put a love in your heart and a desire in your heart to be with people. Number three, it meets a spiritual need in you and others. It meets a spiritual need that you have as well as other people have. Listen, I always think it's exciting to see people. At an invitation, I've seen men go to men and ladies go to ladies, and I've seen them walk over and tap them on the shoulder, and I've seen them come down here to the altar and pray and weep together. I don't know what they're praying for. I don't know what they're weeping over, but you know what? They do. and they went over to them and ministered to them and fellowshiped with them. Maybe they knew they were going through a hard time. Anybody know of anybody in the church going through a hard time? You say, yeah, all of us. All right, then you know what you need? You need fellowship. Not isolation. You need fellowship. So it meets a spiritual need in you and in others. Next, it helps new believers cultivate Christian friends. You hear me? It helps new believers cultivate Christian friends. Now, here's what we do. We say, well, you just need to change your friends. And they're like, okay, will you be my friend? Well, I don't have time. See, we tell them about all the things they need to get out of their life and things they need to change. But then if we tell them all these things they need to change, then we need to invest some in them. And folks, listen. Principle, very simple. You don't take something away without replacing it with something. Okay, you don't take something bad away and not replace it with something good. So if you say, you need to get away from them bad friends, then the next thing out of your mouth, I'll be your friend. Okay? I'll fellowship with you. Next, it connects people to the church and to the church's philosophy of ministry. Now, I'm talking about people coming into church, new families, new members and stuff. Well, listen, when we fellowship to them, what it does is it connects people to the church. Folks, why would someone want to be a part of a church if they don't feel a part of it? They've got to feel a part of it. Now, how are we going to make them feel a part of it? That's up to us. That's up to us. You say, well, preacher, I'm just not a people person. Okay? Physically, amen on that. Spiritually, that ain't going to fly. Because the Holy Ghost of God lives in you, and you're going to have to surrender yourself and let Him make you a fellowshipper. Next, it opens the door for people to ask you questions. Listen now, they may be embarrassed to ask the preacher. Amen. Because see, the thing about it is we have new people coming to our church all the time. They feel embarrassed to ask the preacher about, why do we sing out of the hymn book? You hear me? But you know what? Sitting down here at Brahms over a banana split or a hot fudge sundae, they may say, oh yeah, by the way, why do we only use hymn books? And you say, oh, I'll tell you why. But listen to me. Now, folks, listen. You know where I put this list together from? 20-something years in ministry. That's where I got all this from. Because I've just, listen, when I was on the other side and doing the fellowshipping as a layman and stuff, I found out people will ask you questions they won't ask the preacher because they're embarrassed to. Why don't we use what? Listen, I had somebody this morning. They came up to me and said, preacher, what's all these flowers about? What's all these flowers doing around here? I said, those are left over from the graduation. Now, the thing about it is, they didn't want to ask me, so they went and asked somebody else, can I have one of them? Now, you understand what I'm saying? They're going to ask questions that they may be embarrassed to ask the preacher, but during fellowship, they will ask a person, they will ask you something that they may not ask the preacher. And then next, it provides the opportunity for a teachable moment. Little teachable moments. What did the preacher mean by that? I'll tell you later. After service is over, they said, okay, now, it's later. What did the preacher mean by that? He said, oh, this is what he meant. This is because the Bible says thus and thus and thus. And listen, you can use it as little teachable moments. But you know how that works? It works through fellowship. Listen, fellowship church can be productive if ministered in the right spirit of Christ, or it can be counterproductive if carnality and depravity find their way into fellowship. You hear what I'm saying? Now listen, fellowship, it can start off right, but sometimes it don't necessarily end right. So you know what you got to do? You've got to determine in ministry, when you minister and fellowship with people, that not only is it going to start right, it's going to stay right, and it's going to end right. That means no negative conversation comes in to the fellowship. Amen? And normally, the negative carnality or depravity doesn't come in usually from the young Christian or young believer. Normally, it comes in from us old folks. Yeah, we use a hymn book, but I really don't like just using the hymn book, just between me and you and the fence post. Come on, man! You know what you're doing? You're hurting those people. Even if you don't, listen, even if you decided that, you know what, I think we ought to use something other than the hymn book, then fine. Come say something to me. Don't ruin somebody else. All right. Y'all about ready to strap the seatbelt on? We got just a few more minutes. Now I want to just talk to you about practical things, okay? Just doing some practical things that you can use. You can jot these down. Not going to be long with these, but you can jot them down. Just some practical fellowship ideas that you can use. Now, folks, listen. First impressions do make a difference. They do make a difference. And I'm just telling you that, you know what, it as a church grows larger and as our congregation gets larger, guess what we have to work harder at? Fellowship. We have to work harder at fellowship because if we're not careful, we get isolated. So the north side gets isolated from the south side. You know, on the bus, you bus people, you know what we do? The front of the bus and the back of the bus. And boy, the kids will get on the bus and the kids at the back say, "We are the back of the bus, the back of the bus, the back of the bus. We are the back of the bus. Who are you?" And the front bus, the kids are coming there. "We are the front of the bus, front of the bus, front." And they'll go on and on and on. Now, the thing about it is, if we're not careful, I'm going to get this side here to start saying, "We are the north side of the church, the north side of the church, north side of the church. How about you?" And then we're going to get all these people over here and say, "We're the south side of the church." Get yelling back and forth. Why? Because a lot of times, listen to me, if we're not careful, we never cross paths. We never cross paths. There's no fellowship going on. It needs to be a ministry. And listen to me, everybody in church, from the youngest child to a teenager to the oldest adult here, can minister in fellowship. Everybody can participate in this. So let me just give you some ideas of things that we can do, even beyond church. First of all, open your home to fellowship ministry. Open your home to fellowship ministry. You say, "Oh, preacher, I can't have anybody over. My house is filthy." Well, clean it. Clean it up. And open your home to fellowship ministry. You know, Jesus didn't even have a place to lay his head. So you know what he did? He just started going to other people's house. Yeah, he showed up at Lazarus, Mary and Martha's house in John chapter 12. Showed up there and had a great time of fellowship with them in their home. Zacchaeus. Remember, after Zacchaeus got saved, Jesus told him, said, "Come down, for I'm going to your house today." So you know what he did? He went to Zacchaeus' house, fellowshiped with him. Boy, I tell you, that must have been some kind of fellowship, because after it's all over, he started giving money back. He's a tax collector. That must have been some kind of fellowship. That must have been one of them teachable moments. May I remind you that in Mark chapter 5, that Jesus went to Jairus' home. Boy, I'll tell you one thing, did he ever get an experience? He had his daughter raised from the dead. But you know where it took place? In the house. May I also remind you that he went to the homes of Pharisees and publicans. You see, home, your home serves as a great place to relax and talk together without having to listen to preaching. Hey, let me, hang on now. Listen, do you know that every fellowship don't have to have preaching? So you know what? When they come over to your house, you don't have to say, oh, hang on just a minute, hang on just a minute. I need to put the preacher on and throw a CD on there. So preaching is going, while you're trying to eat ice cream. It just doesn't digest real well. So you know what? You don't have to have those a preaching going on while you're fellowshipping at your house. If we're not, listen, folks, if we're not careful, we'll think, man, alive, we can't do nothing unless we have preaching. Listen, you're looking at a preacher. I'm all for preaching, but you don't have to have it every fellowship. Amen. Hey, I do a lot of fellowship, and you know what? Sometimes I can't even stand to hear myself. Why would I throw a CD on and listen to myself on CD? Wouldn't do that. So what I'm saying is open your home to fellowship ministry. By the way, you know what you can do at home? You can be yourself. Now listen, I don't know. My 5-year-old granddaughter, remember I told you she gives me great illustrations? She don't like to wear no shoes. So I'm telling you, sometimes before we even make it to the house, she's already kicked shoes off. People come over, Zoe, put your shoes back on. So she'll find her shoes, and listen, she'll keep them on for a little bit. Next thing I know, boy, she's got them shoes off, walking around the house barefooted. So you can be yourself. You can relax and fellowship together, but open your home to fellowship ministry. Number two, I want to have to show you this because you're not going to believe me. Okay, go to John chapter 21. John chapter 21. Here's the second idea. Have a cookout. Did you know Jesus had one? I'm fixing to prove it to you. John chapter 21. Look, if you would, in verse number 9. Jesus had a cookout. The scripture says, as soon then as they were come to land. Now, this is the disciples. By the way, remember Peter said, I go fishing. And the other disciples said, well, I guess we'll go also. So they went back to the fishing business. Jesus comes to the shore of Galilee. Have you any meat? And we fished all night and caught nothing. Well, cast it on the right side of the ship and ye shall find. So they did. Matter of fact, the Lord even recorded in verse number 11, they caught 153 fish. Amen, Brother Barnett. 153. One cast. How'd you like that? Throw it out there, one cast, 153 fish. So they come to the shore, and I want you to notice in verse number 9, and they saw a fire of coals there, and fish laid thereon in bread. You know what Jesus was having? A cookout. And you know what he told them to do? Come and dine. Come and dine. Now wait a minute. Listen. I need to preface this. He had a cookout going on, but did you see who he invited to fellowship with him? Backsliders. Did you notice that? These guys had gone fishing. As far as they were concerned, hey, I guess it's old man. It was great while it lasted. Man, 3 years with Jesus. Now, you know what? I'm going fishing. This is what I'm used to doing. We don't have him here. We can't do this. They went fishing. Jesus finds them, has a cookout, cooking fish, invites them to come and dine. And everybody in attendance outside Jesus that he invited was a backslider. Now, you say, where are you getting at, preacher? But you know, there might be some people out of church today that might get back in church if we just had a little fellowship. Had a little cookout, invite them over, threw some steaks on there and say, hey, listen, I want you to come over. Well, I don't know. You know, I hadn't been to church in 6 months, so what does that have to do with anything? I didn't ask you to come over because you hadn't been to church 6 months. I'm asking you to come over because I wanted a fellowship. You see, the thing about it is, what happens is, folks, listen, sometimes, hey, it's all right. It's all right. So some people, they reach a low ebb in their spirituality. And listen, they may not get back in church on an invitation and a phone call. But bless God, let me tell you something. You throw a T-bone steak on the grill, invite them over, have some baked potatoes and some good old nanner pudding for dessert and stuff. Glory to God. You know what that might do? That might just cause them to get back in fellowship. Now, invite guests of all levels of faith. Hey, you have a cookout? Invite guests of all levels of faith to come over. I didn't say of all faiths. I said all levels of faith. You know what? Listen, get you a variety. Have some folks that's been saved for years. Have some that's been saved a little less. And then have some they just gotten saved last Sunday. Come on, fellowship together. Say, what are we having? I don't know, but boy, it's going to be good. Say, like what? It's going to be all beef. All beef, glory to God. I said all beef hot dogs. Now, let me say this. Be organized with your fellowship. You say, what does that have to do with anything? Because idle time can be destructive time. Sometimes you just get caught not planning and stuff. You just kind of sit around. And pretty soon you're talking about things you probably shouldn't be talking about. So be organized with your fellowship. Let me give you another idea. Plan an after church afterglow. You say, well, man, they may not want to go. We didn't call them 6 months in advance to schedule it after church tonight. You know what? I imagine if you just walked up to somebody tonight and say, listen, hey, we're going down to Brahms. And we thought maybe y'all might want to go down there with us. Hey, it's on me. I'll buy the ice cream and stuff. Can y'all come? I think, man, love. Well, we appreciate that. Yeah, we're going to come. Is it okay if we call our kids to ask them if they can come too? And boy, you just go down there and you sit around at Brahms and just have a good old fellowship and stuff. Listen, there's been times where I've been down here to Brahms, right down here on Random Milk, get in there, and I thought, man, live, you know what? I think I'm going to stand up here and preach. We can have church tonight. We got so many church members here. But you know what? That's all right. It's fellowship. But plan an after church after go. Go get ice cream, hamburgers. Just go have some fun. Hey, listen, some of you say, man, I love to bowl. Then you know what? Ask somebody else to go with you and fellowship with them. Go down here and bowl till midnight. Say, yeah, but I got to get up early in the morning. Well, I was going to say so. I'm not going to say that. Let's go on to the next thing. Something that we've done that really was a blessing not only to us but to others. We had a sing-along at our house. We did a sing-along. Brother Muse will remember this. We had a, it wasn't at our house, went to service. We actually put together, remember this, Brother Muse, and had a sing-along. You know what we sung? The Messiah. Amen? Those of you that were there, remember we got there and sang the Messiah. You say, glory to God. How much practice did y'all have? About 30 seconds. But you know what? It was a blast. We had fun, had great time, we ate, just had a little sing-along. It was a blessing to us. And listen, just get you a hymn book or get you somebody. Listen, we don't even have a piano. Well, then get somebody who knows how to play a guitar. Have them come over and just have some fun together. What are you trying to do? Fellowship. Fellowship. You say, well, preacher, what if we can't get out? What if we can't do that? And stuff. All right, let me give you a quick way to fellowship. Write letters of encouragement to people. You say, like to who? New members. So where I get it? Call the office. They'll give you the address. You can write letters of encouragement to visitors. Let me tell you somebody else you can write letters of encouragement to. How about church staff? How about Christian school teachers? How about college teachers? How about people that you know, maybe shut-ins and stuff? And what I'm saying to you, you can be a blessing. You can fellowship with them in writing. There's so many different ways. And let me give you one more and I'm done. And that is the last thing. Be a true friend. Be a true friend. You know, there's a lot of important relationships that we have in life. But I can't think of any greater relationship than being a friend. You know, before my wife and I got married, we have a married relationship now, but you know what we were before we had the married relationship? We had a friendship. You say, well, how did y'all develop that friendship? We fellowship. Now, I must confess something. That when my wife and I were fellowshipping to develop a friendship, we weren't saved. But you know what? We still fellowship. You say, what'd y'all do? Boy, I'll tell you one thing. I was a teenager in high school. You teenagers, close your ears on this, all right? We don't practice this here at this church. But when I was a teenager and stuff, I worked at the local newspaper downtown, and I was worked in the sports department, just taking scores, all that kind of stuff. And so I started to say take my wife, showing my wife at the time, but I would take her out to eat. Trying to think, what do you call it? I didn't call her Miss Terry though, but I would take her out to eat, and I'm telling you, brother, it like to broke me. You know how much minimum wage was in 1978? Chicken feed. And boy, she could eat too. Now, you know what I used to do? What I do, and I'd ask her, I said, well, what do you want right there? And she said, well, what are you going to get? I said, I'm going to get that brisket plate. And I said, boy, that's a good plate. Would you like to? Listen, I'm just kidding. I'd buy two of them. And my wife would just barely, well, not wife, but she would just barely eat. So you know what I ended up doing? Eating two of them. So you, come on, guys, you got to think, see? So I ended up eating two plates. But you know what? What I'm saying is almost 32 years of marriage now started with fellowship that developed friendship. Now is a marriage relationship. Now, all I'm saying to you, church, it works the same way within the church. You know what? You know how long-term or long-time standing members became long-time standing members? It started, I promise you, with someone who invested fellowship. Guarantee you. And then that fellowship developed into a friendship, and now they've had a long-time relationship now, not only with the Lord, but with the church. All I want to do is be practical with you tonight and very basic and just simply say to you, everybody can participate in the ministry of fellowship. Would you bow your heads with me tonight? Every head bowed. How many can say, preacher, I know beyond a shadow of a doubt, I'm saved. No question about it. Just slip your hand up. Say, that's me. No question about it. I've been born again. No question about it. I'm saved tonight and know it, preacher. God bless you. All right? You can put your hands down. Now, Father, I'm grateful for the privilege of being able to be in the house of God tonight. Thank you for all that you do. What a great God you are. How that, Lord, you have ministered to our hearts and to our souls today by allowing us to be able to see what you're doing in lives of people. Lord God, thank you for saving people today. Thank you, Lord, that we are able to see some people baptized throughout the services and ministries today.